Stay tuned after the show for a message from Chevron.
For more than 5 years, the U.S. has been fighting a Cold War-style battle to keep Russia from finishing a pipeline that would connect its fossil fuels to Germany, called Nord Stream 2. During the Trump administration, the government issued sanctions against companies and individuals, most of them from Russia, in order to stall completion of the pipeline, which is now just about finished. But on Tuesday, the Biden administration shifted course.
We are hearing that they are basically going to not put sanctions on the company that's actually behind the pipeline, which is called Nord Stream 2 AG. And the head of that company, a guy named, if I'm saying this correctly, Matthias Warnig, who is German, but is a pretty close friend of Russian President Vladimir Putin.
It's a direct pipeline between Russia and Germany. It cuts out Ukraine, completely harming the Ukrainians, and they're very worried about this.
We reported last month in April that it was likely that they were not going to place sanctions on these entities, even though a lot of folks have been calling for it. Though the reasoning why they would not has been a little convoluted, I guess, a little vague.
I'm Anthony Adragna. This is Politico Energy, and today, Ben LaFabe on the White House's new approach to Nord Stream 2. It's Thursday, May 20th.
You know, this is all kind of going back to Congress trying to punish Putin and the Russian government for interference in the 2016 election and some other cyber attack. When Biden came into office, you know, the Justice Department gave a list of, you know, here's some entities you can place sanctions on. But there seemed to be in the administration some folks who did not want to go to Nord Stream 2. And again, not sure exactly why. We're hoping this comes out in a report. But it's still, you know, for some in Congress who have been very hardline on placing sanctions on Russia, this comes as something that they didn't want to see happen.
We know, and the president has said, that the Russians hacked the Colonial Pipeline here in the United States. So days later, the Biden administration then waived sanctions against the Russians.
Is the best theory of the case that this is to preserve the relationship with Germany, obviously a crucial American ally?
Yeah, there's one theory is that basically, especially after the previous, you know, the Trump administration's kind of antagonism towards Germany, the new administration is having to make some interesting positions to kind of lay off the Germans for a little bit. And there's also the hope that if the administration does not put the sanctions on Nord Stream 2, that a change in the German government, which may or may not occur in the next parliamentary elections later this year, could make this all, you know, a moot point, because the Green Party in Germany is very much against Nord Stream 2.
Support in Congress was quite high for these sanctions. All but a handful of lawmakers supported them. What was the reaction to this decision, apparently, by the Biden administration?
We already saw Republicans come out and say, you know, this basically shows that the Biden administration's get tough on Russia stance is just that, a stance, and they're not backing it up.
And the message to Americans is pipelines here in the United States, the Keystone Pipeline, the Colonial Pipeline, that's bad. That's bad for Americans. We want high gas prices. But pipelines anywhere else in the world, whether it be Russians or others that may be our enemies, that's perfectly fine.
The Biden folks will say,
the Biden administration has been clear that Nord Stream 2 pipeline is a bad deal.
Look, we are putting sanctions on four other companies and four ships that are helping out building the pipeline. So it's not like we're just taking a complete, you know, whiff on this. You know, we saw Senator Cruz come out and put a hold on some State Department nominees.
I'm placing holds on their going to the floor until the administration does more on Nord Stream 2. And this is another topic this committee has talked about.
He felt like he wasn't getting the, you know, strong enough assurances they were going to go all out on sanctions.
The instant, the hour our sanctions legislation was signed into law, pipeline construction halted. It halted for a year. It was an incredible success.
So we've already seen folks basically saying, you know, Biden, you know, soft on Russia because of this.
What is the prognosis for the pipeline? I mean, if the bet here seems to be to wait until the results of the September German elections, obviously not a sure thing there, you know, is this fait accompli, it's going to get built?
It depends on who you talk to. Some folks will say, well, look, you know, they put sanctions on other ships and, you know, this is still in the process of being built. But others will say, you know, it could be finished, but there's still plenty of room for, you know, something to happen, I guess. But, you know, the next few months are obviously going to be critical. The parliamentary elections are in September, so it's not too far away. But, you know, it is far away enough where if the people behind this pipeline are dead set on getting it finished, it could happen.
Also, one of the country's top climate change scientists is returning to his old office within the government. On Wednesday, the White House announced that Mike Cooperberg would be reinstated as executive director of the U.S. Global Change Research Program, a post he'd been ousted from by President Donald Trump after the November election. That demotion was part of a series of late controversial staffing moves by the Trump administration, including the hiring of an academic who argued carbon dioxide was plant food, not a pollutant. With his return, Cooperberg will lead the administration as it works on the latest national climate assessment, a role he already did with the previous climate assessment back in 2018. If you like what you hear, tell us in your own words by leaving us a review on Apple Podcasts or wherever you listen. For more news on energy and the environment, subscribe to our daily newsletter at politico.com/morningenergy. Ben LaFabe covers oil and the energy industry for Politico. Some of the music in today's show was composed by the mysterious Breakmaster Cylinder. I'm Anthony Dragna, and I'll talk to you tomorrow.
Chevron is lowering the carbon emissions intensity of their operations, exploring renewable fuels of the future, and investing in low-carbon technologies. Because it's only human to protect the home we share. Learn more at chevron.com/lowercarbon.